Blog Talk Radio.
I ain't got nothing but three things to say about that.
Welcome to Loving the Skin You're In Radio. I'm your host, Andrea Amador, best known as the Juicy Woman. I'm coming to you live from New York, and today is May 23rd, 2013. As a certified empowerment coach and body image self-esteem expert and curvy and confident woman, I'm here to share my expertise with you. Really, speaking from the heart, I'm here to teach you how to bust out of body shame so that you can love the skin you're in. This is a journey that I have been on, most of my life. I've spent hating my body. And it's been quite recent, probably about 3 years ago, when I realized that it is a dead zone that you will never get out of. So you have to make the choice to move past it. So I'm here to offer you the tools and the information you need to be able to move past that. Before we talk about tonight's topic, which is how to make your wine work for you, I want to let you know that you can get more information about how to end emotional eating and feel good about yourself at any stage of the game. It doesn't matter if you're fat, if you're thin, if you're unhappy with your body, if you're frustrated because your boobs are sagging or your nose is too big or whatever judgment you have about yourself, let's just set that aside. Imagine what it would look like to you to be able to be comfortable with yourself at any stage of the game. Now, that means on a day after you've pigged out all night long and you're bloated with Cheetos or Doritos or whatever your favorite food is, it doesn't matter. To actually have a sense of compassion and love toward yourself and not feel that inclination of wanting to beat the hell out of yourself. How amazing would that be? How fabulous would that be to feel good about yourself at any stage of the game? That's right. You don't have to hang your hopes on losing weight in order to get confidence. I've got more than enough to share with you. Why? Because I'm a woman who has come from having no confidence, and I've had to learn a lot of tools to get me to a place where I've been able to change the way that I see people and I see myself. Instead of looking at myself as the consummate victim, and I got to tell you, I still have those moments, but I'm more aware. Instead of looking at myself as the victim and feeling like I'm being swayed and moved, just like a tree branch that you can easily move, when you don't feel like you have a sense of grounding, when you don't feel like you have a firm place in the world, the slightest little thing will shake you to the core. I'm here to share from my heart and to give you the value of my experience of those moments in my life and the expertise that I have to bring to the table as a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner to teach you how to change the way that you see yourself and your place in the world. For more goodies on what it is that I have, just visit my Facebook page at facebook.com/thejuicywoman and click on like to join the group. You can also get tips and more by following me on Twitter at thejuicywoman. And best of all, you can catch all of the archived episodes for this show and all the others at blogtalkradio.com/the-juicy-woman. Tonight, oh babe, let's talk about whining. If you were here last week, you got a chance to meet my absolutely delightful guest. Her name is January Jones. and she is fabulous. She is the best-selling author of the book Thou Shalt Not Whine. And we sat down and we had a delightful conversation about her life and the expertise that she brings to the table in terms of being what she calls a wine expert. Now, seriously, for a moment, when she was 25 years old, she was widowed and left with two babies under 2 years old. And if anybody has cause to whine, that would be a situation that would. But what I want you to understand is that when we get into a place of whining and complaining and, oh, poor me, oh, life sucks, this is terrible, this is bad, oh, what a mess I'm in, all that place, you are stuck. What does it look like when you whine? Well, do you whine? I want to hear from you. I would love to hear you. Call me. Let's have a conversation. My phone number is 760-888-5736. This is a call-in line. So do you whine? And if you do, what does it look like when you whine? Give me an example of what it looks like when you whine. Some people are really, really very very demonstrative when they whine. Oh, they cry and they carry on and they say, oh, life sucks, this is terrible, things shouldn't be this way, and, you know, why did this happen to us, and this isn't right, and they go on and on and on about all of the injustices they feel in life. But I learned something really important this week. I'm going to really take a big slice of humble pie here. I never really thought of myself as a whiner, but I learned that I am. I had last week, it was a tough time for me. A dear friend of mine, Dawn, her husband had passed away. And Dawn and I had become friends way back in NYU. And we bonded like two sisters, and I felt adopted by her whole family. And when she first met her husband about 23 years ago, that was around the same time that I met my husband. So we, Angel and I, are now going to be married 23 years this June 30th. And Dawn and James also, it would have been 24 years, June 30th. They share an anniversary with us. It hit me so hard going to James' funeral and seeing the family and talking with them and feeling like there was absolutely nothing that I could do for my dear friend who I love so much. When I left, when I left the funeral, I went and I did something that made me feel even worse, if it's even possible. You've heard me speak of this before, where my dad and I have been estranged for a number of years, but that doesn't change the fact that I love him very much, and I always will, and I miss him tremendously. And it drives me crazy, the fact that he only lives like 20 minutes away from me, 30 minutes, in the Washington Heights section of Manhattan, where I used to live. And so whenever I'm in New York City, I kind of sneak back into Washington Heights because that's where my heart is. Wow. I didn't realize I'd get to be so vulnerable with you guys. But anyway, so I went by his apartment, and I went by his window, and I thought to myself, wow, I wonder if Dad would come out. What would I say? What would I do? You know, all of this drama, drama, drama stuff. And then after being there for a little while, I left, and I went back home. And there was such a hole in my heart. I felt so sad. All evening long, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I was grouchy. I just wanted to be alone. And I was just really in that place of feeling really sad. And the whole following day, I felt the same way. I didn't get to do anything. There were so many things that I had planned to do in terms of making call and booking business and, you know, setting up speaking gigs, but there was absolutely nothing that I could do. I had no energy whatsoever. Thursday evening, I had a call with my coach, Angela Treat-Lyon, and she said, well, what's up? And I told her, I said, I just feel so sad. And she said, why? And I said, because I just went to the funeral of a dear friend of mine. Her husband passed away. And I was really, really surprised at the things that she said. Basically, she said, you know, why are you sad? And I told her, I feel so sad because there's nothing that I could do. And I identify so strongly with Dawn. And there's a part of me that fears that the same thing would happen to me. And she said, well, what if it would? In Angela's own inimitable way. And I said, well, I guess I'd be fine. I'd be okay. And then the Andrea that I now know and love said, I'd even write a book about it. From that discussion, we continued to talk, and she explained to me that I was kind of getting into a place where it sounded to her like my heart was broken. And I had shared the whole experience of going to my dad's place and feeling this tremendous emptiness. And this is what she shared with me that I want you to take away. That every single thing that you are feeling, whatever it is, whether it's anger or sadness or pain or rage, jealousy, confusion, upset, anything that you can think about, any feeling that you can name, and even those that you can't name, it really all just comes down to energy. Energy is flowing through your body. It's flooding through your body. So when something meaningful touches you, when something upsets you, when something hurts you, when something rattles you to the core, let's say somebody says something to you and, you know, instantly you feel like, oh man, they put me down. I feel so intimidated. I feel so hurt. I feel so angry. What she taught me was that you can take that energy and you can whip it around and you can make it work for you. You know how you feel when you're in that place, when you're feeling like you're so low, there's nothing that you could do. If you're an emotional eater, that's when you would find, you know, food calling to you saying, eat me, eat me, eat me. And then you go ahead and you eat the food, and then you fall into a place where you've eaten so much, you're at the point where you're no longer able to stay awake. You kind of fall into and slip into that food coma where you're not able to think and you just go numb. Well, that was the intention to begin with, to go numb, because there's a part of us that is so terrified of feeling whatever feeling it is, because each of us has this part that's trying to keep us safe, trying to keep us in this place where we feel safe, where we're in a secure place, where we kind of know what's coming next. If you're not used to feeling your feelings, and if you've grown up thinking that your feelings make you less of a person, if you've ever been told, oh, you're too damn sensitive, or you think too much, or you're too, you know, you're always such a whiner or crier or complainer or whatever. If people have put labels on you and put you down or made you feel like there was something wrong with you because you were a sensitive person and because you had that connection to yourself in that way, by being able to feel those feelings, if they've made you feel less because of that, there is a part of you that has done whatever it has tried, whatever it has needed to do in order to hold you down, to sublimate those feelings. Because there's this sense that if you feel too much, you will die. Just like an explosion. If too much feeling comes, if you're too overwrought with emotion, you may feel like you're going to explode. And this is really what's happening when stress is running throughout your body. There's chemicals that are flying all over your body. And it's really adrenaline that's rushing through you. And all of these other these toxins that are going through you that are needing a release. If they don't get released, if they don't get processed in a way that they can leach out of the body, then they will hang on and they will become these very, very charged, pained memories that keep you caught up in a certain kind of story. Now, next week, later on, I'm going to be telling you about my membership program that I'm starting next Tuesday, May 28th. That's the Curvy and Confident Coaching Club. And I'm not going to give it all away, but we're going to be starting with talking about changing your story and what you need to do to change your story. And this is actually the preview of what you need to do to change your story, what we're going to be talking about today. So I want you to keep in mind that what's going on when you feel this rush of emotion going through your body, that is energy. It's not good. It's not bad. It doesn't suck. It's not fabulous. It just is what it is. We have this tendency to label it. And in the process of labeling something, actually, I'll share a little bit from what I was telling Angela. I told Angela, the way that I feel, it just sucks. And she said, does it suck? Really? And I said, yes, it just sucks. She said, why is it bad? And I said, it's bad because I don't feel good. When you don't feel good, it's your body telling you that the energy is off. Something is blocked. Something is not running at 100%. But it doesn't mean that it's bad. Because in the same way that energy can neither be created nor destroyed, you can change that energy. You can change the way that you feel. So imagine if you would be able to take back, like I have this image of like Easter eggs. Gosh, food again. Okay, yeah, I have this image of gathering up Easter eggs. If you think about all of the disempowering situations in your life that you have labeled disempowering or sucks or bad or hurtful or painful or anything like that, just imagine those situations, if they're just pure energy, imagine if you could start taking back that energy and putting it into like a basket or putting it into your own vessel, which is your body. Just putting it into your body and gathering it all. Because if you think about it, the things that have happened to us, the things that keep on cropping up and coming up back on us over and over again are like regurgitations from other times, from past, when we were less resourceful and able to change the way that we feel. In fact, we had no tools. In fact, I'm going to go into this and assume that you still are not aware of how to make changes. That's why I'm going to teach you. But if you think about the things that have hurt you in life, the things that have made you feel sad, the situations where you have felt intimidated, if you called someone and you asked to speak with them and they were gruff or unkind or nasty or disrespectful or hung up on you, you may have certain feelings about that. And as a result of that, that may affect whether you're willing to put yourself in that position now. In fact, that may be the very thing that's hanging you up between having more clients. You may need to do calling, and because you've had experiences like that, there's that part of you that wants to keep you safe that says, oh, no, we don't do those kinds of things. I'll take care of you. Just don't do that. We'll be okay now. I'll take care of you. But what I want you to know is that you don't have to rely on that kind of safety anymore, because those safeties are not really safeties. It's a false sense of security. You are no longer the person you were when you went through those situations. You are more resourceful. You are more intelligent. You are wiser. You have had more experiences that you can draw from that change the way that you see things. But here's the thing. If your energy has gotten rattled because it has had a strong emotional effect on you, it is going to affect you in a way that every single time you're going to go back to act in the old disempowering way that you have before. You've heard me speak before about my challenges with computers. And I laugh now. But it's now more as a result of having a real sense of consequence, having an understanding of cause and effect. There were so many years that went by when I was running the real estate business, and I was not doing it from a position of being a powerful woman, because I relied so much on other people's approval of me. And when I didn't get it, I was very much in the midst of a situation where it was, I'm not going to say it was a man's world, real estate, but there was a lot of traditionalism in that the men who were in the business with me, they thought in very traditional ways. They didn't think that women were intelligent. They didn't think that women had any sense of business acumen or anything like that. They just thought that, you know, women were there to just be cute. And here I was, you know, not having any sense of standing in my own power, and being a person who grew up thinking, by my experiences with sexual abuse and other situations, that it was my role to be the pretty face. if you've ever had a situation like this where you have like a conflict going on inside of you, that you don't want something, but you do it anyway because you don't know of any other way around it, you know what I'm talking about. What's really going on in those situations is that your energy is tangled. And when your energy is tangled, we say and we do things that are in conflict with what's our true self, with what's our true, authentic, you know, person, who we are. If anybody has any calls or, you know, wants to share a thought, my number is 760-888-5736, and I'd love to hear from you. So going back to my situation with my computers, I spent a lot of years accepting the belief, accepting people telling me that I was just a dumb blonde and I was stupid and I was a dumb businesswoman and naive and all of that, because I respected these people and I wanted to give them their just due because they were my elders or they were the authorities. So I grew up thinking that that was just the way it was, despite the fact that I, you know, made straight A's in school and all of that. It didn't matter. When it came to business, stupid me. So when computers came on the scene in the late 1990s or so, for me, it was my grandmother and I who were running the business. Nana was about 80. I was kind of excited, and I wanted to learn about computers. But Nana said, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to change the tenants' files over to computers because it won't serve us. So we're just going to keep doing things the way that they've been done, which was everything was typewritten and carbon paper, and it was just freaking insane. So I didn't get a lot of support in terms of learning about computers. And I got to develop the belief that I was just too stupid, or that girls didn't, you know, venture into that territory. That was too complicated. And I spent a lot of money on experts handling computers for me, and it became quite a burden and quite embarrassing. Just feels awful. But anyway, that's a label. So here's the deal. All that money was spent on computers, and I never, ever really took the time to empower myself to learn how to use the damn things so that I could be versant in the language of computers, so that I would know what to do when small things occurred, that I could do a quick little fix. Instead, I would, you know, pay someone $200 an hour to handle it. Ridiculous. The reason that I'm sharing this story with you is because I want you to see where in your life you're doing loopy things that don't seem to make sense, that you are labeling as bad or stupid or, you know, putting yourself down. I want you to understand that there's a real reason why you're doing these things. And it's not going to serve you in any way to blame yourself. That's not what's going to get you out of that disempowering loop. So keep listening. So it became clear to me recently that all of the choices, because they really were choices that I made with computers, to just continue to, you know, give it away and pay somebody else to do it. And no, I'm not willing to learn. I'm too stupid. I can't do it. All of that has cost me in terms of creating freaking computer chaos. I'm going to go real vulnerable with you and tell you that I have 4 computers filled with information and books and everything else. And over the years, these computers have, I have gone to different experts and paid for them to back the things up, and hundreds of hours of audios, back everything up and make sure it was all saved and everything. But because I was so mistrustful, I told them, no, don't delete anything. Let me do my own deleting. Ugh. But I never really knew quite how to do that. It should have been simple, but for me, I don't know, I made it very complicated. So as a result of that, I created a real computer chaos situation where I don't feel very comfortable around computers. And the computers that I have are really not functioning properly because of the fact that I've taken this laissez-faire attitude toward handling them. I have not been responsible to step up and say, okay, I'm going to figure this out. Now, how does this affect you in your life? Well, it affects you in that there are situations that are going on with you where you're kind of in the same loop. Maybe it's that every night when you come home, you're tired and you're hungry, and instead of sitting down and having, you know, a meal with the family, maybe you'll grab the Häagen-Dazs from Häagen-Dazs. I don't think they're in business anymore. Maybe you'll grab whatever ice cream it is from the fridge and sit down and just watch TV and fall asleep. And you'll lose all of that connection with family and with your husband or mate, whoever it is. Or maybe you have a situation where you're feeling like you're in a frustrating job and you're not doing what you love to do and you're just kind of getting by, but you're afraid to jump out there and do what really, really makes your heart burn in a good way. So you just keep on doing it and you keep saying, one day. Maybe you're saying, one day I'll write that book. One day I'll write that song. One day I'll start my own business. The things that we're doing that we're not comfortable doing, the places in your life where you feel yourself going, ugh, I don't like that, where you're hurting. Maybe you have a decision to make, and there's a possibility that you may move, and you're thinking, no, I don't want to move because everything I have is right here, and this is all I want. And maybe it works for your partner, but you've kind of made the decision and stuck your heels in, and you said, no, I'm not moving. I don't want to move. I'm not changing. And as a result of that, it creates friction. It creates tension. That's what's going on. Wherever you are in your life, whatever situation it is that you're facing, where you're not feeling 100% you, where you're not feeling great and excited to be alive, you're dying. When you're not living, you're basically dying. And when you're thinking about the things that you don't love to do, that you're kind of settling with and that you're saying, oh, okay, well, I'll do that, but I really don't want to, there's a part of you that you've given away. This is not a judgment. Now, think about being able to go and take, just like I was saying earlier, take, just as though they are Easter eggs, grabbing up whatever it is that is in that situation, that whining or that, excuse me, I'm going to cough. grabbing whatever it is that, whatever behavior it is that you're doing that you're not happy with or that is reflecting your displeasure, taking that and saying, this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine, and this is mine, and going throughout your whole life and looking at all of those places and all of those times in your life when you have settled for less than you know you deserve and less than you know that you want. Grabbing up all those little bits of energy and taking them back. Now imagine if you were to pile that in front of you. Imagine how big that would be. What would it look like? Come on, guys. I'd love for you to call me. My number is 760-888-5736. All right. I'm going to continue to share with you. So as I had said, I never really considered myself a whiner. But when I thought about it, although I'm not a whiner, I don't actually say things to people like, oh, this sucks, or, you know, this is terrible. I tend to really, really work hard and set an intention to look for the more positive things, to be more grateful. But I'm human. So I'm fully aware of what's going on in my self-talk, and there's a lot of complaining going on because you can't always keep up something that doesn't feel right. It's kind of like a ruse, like you're putting on an act. So last week when I was upset and very, very sad about the situation with Dawn and her husband, the next couple days for me, I was really just observing what was going on with me, and I was kind of not really myself. I was making a lot of decisions that were not very, they weren't the best decisions. I got lost, and it was really not a good situation. But there were times during that time when I realized that it was me who was making the choice to remain stuck and sad. And I was still with the broken heart. And then I realized that I can take this back. You can take back the way that you feel. Whatever it is, whether your thing is that you're eating too much and you can't stop eating and you're just stuffing food in, you know, hand over fist, or you're watching TV and you're feeling like your life is empty and meaningless, or you're feeling like nobody loves you or nobody wants you, all of those situations just come down to energy. That's all it is, because all of us are just energy. If you were to take a microscope and look at everything broken down, we would just be like moving particles with lots and lots of space between us, actually flashes of light. We're all energy. Even your thoughts are energy. So that means that if you're able to shift the energy and change it and make it work for you, wow, that's when we're talking about some power here. I would love to hear from you. My number is 760-888-5736. Give me a call. So I'd like to know a little bit more about what kinds of ways you find yourself whining. As I had said, I'm not a very demonstrative or verbal whiner. I tend to kind of take things in and just sit with them. I can be a really, really moody person. And moody feelings, that's just another way of energy manifesting in the body. So when you find yourself in that place where you're moody and you don't want to talk to anyone, or you're getting angry easily, or you want to tell someone, go to hell, you're an idiot, that kind of thing, that kind of feeling, maybe you may not verbalize it because you were taught to be a lady, or whatever it is that you feel about it, just know that right there, that is an example of your energy being sucked away. And you can take it back by making the choice. It starts with a choice. You have to know that the way that you feel is a choice. You do not have to feel the way that you feel. You may have had the worst, most horrific situations and experiences in life and had a lot of cause for sadness and gone through a lot of adversity. But the thing is, you are not in that situation anymore. You may be experiencing a situation now in your life where someone is mistreating you or treating you, saying things that are disrespectful or unkind. First, what I want you to know is that you always have to take care of yourself. Your safety is the number one concern. If you're in a position where you're feeling unsafe, you need to do whatever you can do to find a place where you're safe, where you can seek refuge. Aside of that, the situations that we experience in our life many, many, many times, we create a hell all inside our mind. We create so much pain and turmoil for ourselves and so much drama because many times that's all we've known. I come from a situation where that's been my background, a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear and doubt and all of that. So being afraid, wow, that's like second nature to me. Worrying is something that I've done most of my life and waiting for the next shoe to drop. And when I learned about the emotional freedom technique, what it is that I have taught you before, it was the most magical freedom that I could have ever known. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the emotional freedom technique, also called EFT, EFT is basically tapping on and stimulating different meridian endpoints on the body that connect to your organs and create like a relief response in the body. The latest research that's been done with veterans shows that when you're tapping on these acupressure points on the body, you're actually sending a signal to the brain to pair whatever upsetting thought it is that you have with a new reframed way of thinking, a realization that you're going to be okay. The way that I do EFT is unlike what I was traditionally taught, and that's to use a set of affirmation statements and then tap. Since I know that the acupressure points create that relaxation response, and that just tapping on them creates that sense of, okay, you know when you're really, really tense and your shoulders are like up over your ears, and then you breathe and your shoulders just drop and it feels so relaxing. Or if you've ever gone through a guided meditation, how relaxing that could be. It's that same thing. You can actually give yourself the gift of that relief and release by tapping on those acupressure points. Now, I'm not going to leave you hanging. The one that I tend to favor is on the upper chest. If you put your hand right over your upper chest as if you were going to say the Pledge of Allegiance and spread your hand out. It could be either hand. It doesn't matter if it's your if you're right hand dominant or left hand dominant, whichever it is, just place your hand over your chest and just kind of massage your hand in a circular motion over that area. What you are doing by activating that point is your, remember I had talked about the safety, the false sense of security that we have, that we hold, that part of us that says, oh, no, I'll take care of you, don't you worry, you don't ever need to do a cold call again, or you never have to be hurt by that nasty man again. That's that part of us that has like, it's a strong emotional connection to some situation that happened in our life. When you're massaging that point, you're neutralizing that emotion and all of the feelings around that. So if you either tap on that spot or rub it, what you will find is that you'll feel a lot more relaxed. Let's see. Does anybody want to call me? My number is 760-888-5736. I would love to hear from you. So back to the topic at hand. In order to make your wine work for you, the thing that I'm going to teach you to do is to use those acupressure points and to massage or touch that spot as you're thinking about whatever it is that's upsetting you. But here's what I find. The more honest you can be about what's going on with yourself and what you're thinking, and the more emotion that you can evoke, the more emotion that you can elicit from yourself to really, really bring it up in your mind and make it real, like Dolby sound, like screaming at you. Whatever it is that you need to do to make that experience real and alive for you, do it. Many times when I'm upset, the thing that I will do is I will tap on that particular point and I'll shout and I'll yell and I'll curse. Because for me, cursing has a very, very strong emotional tie. It makes me feel frightened, puts me back in that childlike place. Because my father was a curser, and that was his way of wielding power in the family. He didn't hit, he didn't do anything else, but damn, he was a curser. So whenever I do that, it really, really changes the power dynamic. You may feel differently, but whatever it is, when you think about what it is that's upsetting you and you tap on those acupressure meridians. And after, there's that relaxation response, that kind of like, I'm okay, I'm a little better. Then you can start to include or integrate choices, things that you want instead. I had shared my experience of the first time that I had bumped up against EFT, and it was when I was in practitioner training for neuro-linguistic programming. And I was watching a demonstration, and it instantly reminded me of a really painful, disempowering experience. And my body had never, ever gone through a panic attack, but I was in the midst of a panic attack. I was sitting down, and I was watching my hands on top of my knees just flying out of control, trembling out of control. And my knees were trembling, and I like couldn't breathe. And my next-door neighbor, she was an emotional freedom technique practitioner, and I didn't know that. To be truthful, she had said stuff about this in class, but I just thought it was a gag. I thought it was ridiculous. Everybody was kind of laughing about it. But she asked me if I was okay, and I was just in a really bad place, and I shook my head no. And she kind of grabbed me and took me outside of the room. And as soon as the door closed, I started crying hysterically. I was sobbing. I was so immersed in that memory of that long ago time. And I remember hearing her say, Andrea, I know you don't know what it is that I do, but I'm an emotional freedom technique practitioner. And if you will let me tap on different parts of your face and your hands and your body, I can help you. And she asked me, can you speak? And I couldn't speak. And she said, that's okay. Can you hum? And I shook my head, and yes. So she said, okay, all I want you to do is you hum. And she started tapping the side of my hand, and she's saying this, like, even though, remember I was telling you about those affirmation statements? Even though, blah, 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 blah. And she's tapping. And for the next, I want to say probably about 10 minutes, she was tapping on me. I could feel energy rushing through my body. It was like a volcano. And afterwards, the crying, the sobbing stopped. I got my voice back. I stopped. My hands stopped trembling. My knees stopped trembling. The sick and nauseous feeling in my stomach disappeared completely. And about 10 minutes later, soon after I got my voice back really quickly, like a minute after or so, she started tapping on me. But from that point, when I got my voice back, I was able to dissect with her the memory of one of the worst experiences of sexual abuse I had ever had, that had been rolled over like for 18 and a half years by therapists, and it still, every single time, was as painful as it always had been. This time, with Gail using the emotional freedom technique on me, it was gone. I had had an experience of freedom that I had never, ever had before. And it became clear to me why I needed to forgive my stepfather and all those other guys, why forgiveness was something that I needed to give for myself in order to release me, in order to release the hook of the hurt that I was continuing to feel, that need to continually abuse myself. So now I'm going to turn on you, and I'm going to say, what are the things in your life that you're whining about, that you're feeling out of control over, that you're feeling like There's not a thing in the world that you could do to help yourself. Are you ready to learn that you don't have to feel that way anymore? I'm so excited to be able to share with you that next Tuesday, I'm going to be doing my Curvy and Confident Coaching Club. I'm very, very proud. It has been a long time in the making. And as a result of having this available to you, I'm giving to you not only the value of my experience, but my expertise, the combination of the two. And I have made it so that the opportunities to come in, it's a membership program, which means that it's ongoing. Every week, I'll be doing another call. Next week's call is going to be about changing your story. And I've already given you the technique that we'll be learning, the emotional freedom technique, and applying that to whatever wine it is that you have right now, whatever wine it is that's holding in your heart, that's keeping you locked up as a prisoner. We're going to be using it on that. And for a range of prices, because I decided that was the very, very best way to go, was to go for a range of prices. From $19 and up, there are different levels or tiers of access that you would be able to have to me. For $19 a month, you would get 4 calls plus audio recordings. And then from there, there are 4 more levels that gradually increase. Like for $35 a month, you'll get the 4 calls and the 4 recordings, and you'll also get access to a Facebook discussion group and get a download of my book, Love in the Skin You're In. At the very far end, the premium, the VIP, is the $477 a month, and that's where I also add my private coaching in addition to all of the other things. I am thrilled to open my heart up to you, to give you the value of what I've learned. All the lessons, all of the wisdom that I have that has been held for so long. And since this really is my life's journey, I am all about empowering women from the inside out, and I continue to learn every single day new ways of doing things better and more effectively and in a more powerful way. I don't want to overuse the word power, but oh, baby, to me there's nothing better. When you stand in your power, or when you stand, what I will do for you is I will hold a space for you to be powerful. My goal is to give you the best tools so that you can be the amazing woman you are. I look forward to speaking with you again next week. Next week's guest, we will have Dr. Linda Bacon, the author of the book Health at Every Size. She is a scientist. She is a well-renowned speaker and author. And she will tell you why fat ain't bad. And I kid you not, she will explain to you specifically the scientific reason and the studies around how our bodies work and why we are the way that we are. So I'm going to have to run. I have less than a minute to go. I love you like crazy. Please follow me on Facebook and Twitter. And have a beautiful day. Bye, Juicy Woman.
I love my body.